Sky original. On a black background, there is a close-up of the inner workings of a clock, hand motion sped up. Timeless Films is written around the rim, hands still. The image fades and is replaced by a dark blue starry background. A blue light goes through silhouetted Constantine Films until the logo shines brightly. The screen fades to black. A burnt yellow cloud formation swells and pulses. Text appears. Sky presents a Sky Original, a Constantine Film production. In co-production with Cyborn BV Rise Pictures. In association with Lumatic Animation. The stylized block drawing of a dragon with its tail wrapped around a man is animated.
Long ago, humans and dragons lived in perfect harmony.
They reach out to one another.
But the humans became greedy and began to take over the world, consuming everything in their path. The dragons pleaded with the humans to stop this selfish quest. But instead of listening, the humans declared war. An evil alchemist, Petrosius, created a dragon-killing monster and named it Nettlebrand. But Petrosius could not control the monster and was killed by his own creation. Nettlebrand began hunting the dragons all over the world. The dragons scattered helplessly, unable to counter Nettlebrand's immunity to their fire. After losing their tracks, Nettlebrand retreated to his creator's castle, obsessed with his desire to devour. Centuries passed. The humans took over the world, forgetting all about special creatures.
Cities replaced trees.
The remaining dragons had no choice but to hide, keeping their existence a secret from the rest of the world. But nothing remains hidden forever.
In golden letters on black background, Dragon Rider, an animated film, audio described by Tacey. A silver-white light sweeps across the words and they disappear into fragments. Sun-dappled green grass sways gently in a light breeze. A ladybird clambers up one fleshy blade. It scratches away an irritating itch and then flies away. Trees reach for the sky and low mountain ranges fill the horizon. Forest brownie sorrel, brown spotted with creamy front, cat-like head and large pointed ears, races upright along the ascending valley path. She waves her silver dragon companion, Firedrake, on. He pads after her, wings close to his body. They spy on a dragon meeting.
We're going to get into trouble for this.
They make their way to a rocky outcrop. Bottleneck addresses a small gathering of other dragons.
Get up here, you big lump!
And remember, fire is the last resort and should be used for protection only.
Order! Order! Let's have some order here.
Listen up. This is a serious matter. Fire is a weapon, not a toy. No fire, no fly. We keep...
The spies slip off their rock.
Fire, Drake.
Sorry. My bad.
Hi.
What are you doing up there?
I wanted
to... Spare me the details. Don't you have anything better to do than creeping around?
Like what?
Well, we've got loads to do here. Yeah. Like,
guess in what shape the next cloud will be? Yeah.
Taking a good mud bath.
Flicking flies with your tail.
Look, no one's saying you can't have fun. Just keep it quiet, you two.
I want to be a proper dragon, like the dragons in Slatebeard's stories.
Oh, give me strength. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of sight. That's an order!
The duo retrace their steps through the wooded valley.
Where's the fun in hiding all the time? Bottleneck doesn't allow us to do anything.
But we're safe here. Isn't that more important?
Who can hurt us? Sprites? Gnomes?
My mum will, if I'm not home for dinner.
See you tomorrow.
She scampers off. Firedrake pads down the path. On a faraway, craggy rock is a silhouetted castle. Fardrake approaches a sleeping, venerable old dragon, a butterfly resting on one of his two horns.
Slatebeard!
Feast your eyes on this, ladies!
The rusty brown dragon breathes out a love heart smoke ring.
Hornyhawks! He thinks he's a real dragon. What's his name?
Spinecrackle.
Spinecrackle? That's a name I won't forget in a hurry. He's not a real dragon. The Rim of Heaven. Ah, that's where the real dragons live.
Hey, Slatebeard! You telling your crazy tales again, old man?
Old man? I'll give you old man. He's got a nerve. What's his name?
You were saying the Rim of Heaven.
How do you know the Rim of Heaven?
You just said it.
Have you been there?
Spinecrackle breathes fire.
Dragon is so annoying. What's his name?
Tell me more about the Rim of Heaven.
Ah, yes. A paradise for dragons. Where the moonflowers shine.
He creates a smoke moonflower.
Where is it?
It's in a faraway mountain range.
No, Slatebeard, don't nap now.
On the other side of the world.
A paradise for dragons.
Sora and Firedrake wander the wooded valley.
Where is this place?
He said it was in a faraway mountain range on the other side of the world. He called it a paradise for dragons.
The paradise for dragons? That's good for you, then.
Oh, brownies are welcome, too.
How do you know? Maybe they barbecue brownies there.
Nice.
Sorrel scratches a dragon and forest brownie into tree bark.
All I'm saying is, it sounds like my kind of place.
My dad says the world outside of this valley is a scary place.
Well, we're stuck here.
Birds fly with fright into the sky. Firedrake, with Sod on his back, peers out across the land below, where the humans are destroying the landscape and getting nearer the dragon's habitat.
We have to tell the others.
Under a blood-red sky, the anxious dragons meet.
Calm down.
The humans are coming. What will they do when they find us?
What they always do when they want something. Attack first, ask questions later.
It wasn't always like this. Back in the days of the great dragon kings, humans and dragons even flew together.
Right. Until the humans wanted to have it all their own way.
We lay low. Wait for the humans to pass us by.
I say we take the fight to the end. It's about time we show them who's boss.
We are noble creatures. Fighting is not our way.
What's so noble about fighting?
Bottleneck stamps his foot.
If the humans advance further in this direction, they'll be on us by the next full moon. Sulfur Breath.
Yes, boss.
Prepare the hideout.
What about the Rim of Heaven? We could go there.
Yeah, right. How are you planning to get there?
I've got wings, haven't I?
Seriously?
We find the Rim of Heaven, come back, and lead everyone to safety.
That's insane! You've never been outside the valley!
Sorrel!
I'm coming, Mom!
Sorrel shrugs and joins her mother. Firedrake stares at the crescent moon in the evening sky. Sorrel stares out of the window of her family home. Her mother is wrapping mushrooms in cabbage leaves.
There we go. This should keep us going for the foreseeable. Those awful humans think the world belongs to them.
It's like I've always told you. They're the worst.
We should run away. Leave the valley. Find a new home.
My dear Sorrel, if I knew of somewhere we could go, we'd be out of here in a jiffy.
Night has fallen. Dragons are sleeping. Except Firedrake, who turns sleepless on the ground. Try as he might, sleep evades him. He lies on his back, front legs clasped before him. He blinks up at the sky. And then he tiptoes his way through the sleeping dragons. He addresses sleeping Slatebeard.
I'll come back. I promise.
One dragon starts in his sleep. Climbing to the highest point of the mountain the dragons live on, Firedrake stares at the silvery crescent moon in the cloud-filled sky. He stands on a particularly high, rocky outcrop.
All right.
He spreads his wings, snaps them shut. Sorrel bursts out of the bushes.
Sorrel? What are you doing here?
What do you think?
She leaps onto his back.
Come on, before I change my mind.
Okay. Here we go.
I hope you know what you're doing. You've never flown before!
Firedrake leaps into the air, frantically flaps his wings, plummets. Then they swoop up into the cloudy night sky, Sorrel crouching low on his back. She gazes down at the land exposed by parting clouds. A river snakes into the distance.
So, genius, where do we start?
A plane skims right over Firedrake, who banks in the air in shock.
Sorrel, are you all right?
Still alive.
Hovering like a hawk, they regard a city revealed through parting clouds.
Look at that. What is that? It looks amazing. Should we go down there?
Are you crazy? That's where the humans live. Even though...
What?
A pixie I know once told me about this all-knowing oracle that lives there. Maybe it can help us find the Rim of Heaven.
Great. What's it called?
They call it the Internet.
Internet. Okay, let's go ask the Internet.
Oh, I guess we don't really have a better choice. No, it is way too dangerous to go flying down there.
Oh, come on, Sorrel. Gotta try.
A jeweler's shop front displays a pearl flower pendant necklace, two golden earrings. An unruly dark-haired boy in red hoodie and faded jeans enters and steals the necklace. He exits and nonchalantly pockets his booty. The distraught elderly jeweler races out after him.
Hey!
The boy runs.
You won't get away this time!
The boy slides over a hastily broken car. He makes his way towards a crowded area. Fans have congregated outside a cinema. A red carpet has been cordoned off, and the young star of the show, How to Train Your Dragon, waves at adoring fans. He poses for paparazzi. In the film, he's dressed in green-belted tunic and red cloak.
Thief!
The thief bumps into a man wearing a dragon costume, handing out promotional leaflets.
Watch it. Here, check it out.
There, that's him!
The jeweler points. The thief grabs a dragon's prophet leaflet, then pushes through the crowd of fans dressed as the protagonist. He steals a costume en route and shrugs into it. Wearing belted tunic, cape and horned hat, the thief turns into a deserted backstreet. As Firedrake crash lands in an industrial area of warehouses and cranes, Sorrel's thrown off his back. She writes and dusts herself down.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm the little brown thing. You're the giant wingy thing. I go find the Internet. You hide in there.
She points to a deserted warehouse.
Okay.
She strides purposefully away. Firedrake pushes through giant double doors to gain entrance. Inside the dimly lit space are stacked wooden crates.
Hello?
Firedrake discovers a hideaway bolt hole. Light comes from a table lamp and a large suitcase. An array of personal items, a mattress, pillow and blanket on the cold floor. Through a window, he spies a giant poster for How to Train Your Dragon. A rider stands on the flying dragon's back.
Back in the days of the great dragon kings, humans and dragons even flew together.
Firedrake smiles. Still wearing his stolen costume, Thief beeps off a high brick wall onto a steel container. He trots across an industrial yard and lets himself into a warehouse and approaches his bolt hole hideaway that Firedrake had discovered. The thief snatches up a leftover piece of pizza. He tips his head back to eat. Firedrake stands behind him, and the surprised thief spins around. Pizza slice thrown aside.
Yeah, yeah, very good, very good. That, my friend, is a pretty awesome costume. You're with the movie, right? Oh. Come on, little guy, where are you?
He peers inside the dragon's mouth, runs a hand over his tongue.
Kind of feels dragon-y.
He backs fearfully away.
Okay, now, stay cool. It's just a dragon.
Hi.
Ah! A talking dragon!
Oh, you're him.
He stares at the poster.
Yeah, I'm him. I'm a dragon rider?
A dragon rider.
What's a dragon rider?
It's like a horse whisperer, but with dragons. It's a psychic thing.
That's amazing. Can you help us find the Rim of Heaven?
Maybe I should check my diary. This is a very busy time in the Dragon Rider calendar.
I looked all over and I couldn't... Oh, a human! Stay back! What did I tell you about mingling with the enemy?
No, you don't understand. He's a Dragon Rider. He can help us find the Rim of Heaven.
Please, don't fall for his tricks. The human is a liar and a cheat.
How do you know that?
All humans are liars and cheats. They're the worst!
No, but this one's different. He has special talents.
Talents? What talents?
I can read your mind.
Then you'll know what I'm thinking. He's not coming with us.
The police have arrived.
So, how about we find that thing of heaven?
You betcha. Climb aboard, Dragon Rider.
No, I am not flying with a human.
We need to move fast.
Zorl, come on!
As the lad grabs his rucksack, his horned helmet falls off. He doubles back, grabs a newspaper cutting from under the mattress. He leaps on Firedrake's back. Furious Zorl relents and leaps off a crate to land just behind the boy.
Steady, everyone. Sounds like this is the one.
The police are about to enter the warehouse. Firedrake swoops out, and as he gains height, he knocks the police over.
On the fly!
Saluting almost makes the boy fall from the dragon's back. They fly over the cinema. Fans stare in wonder at the sky, including the two men inside the leaflet-giving dragon costume.
There should be us up there!
I know a free ride when I see a free ride, and he is a free ride!
You don't like humans, do you? You've probably never even met one.
No, and I wouldn't want to.
Well, where's the sense in that?
So, where to next, Dragon Rider? All we know is the Rim of Heaven is in a faraway mountain range on the other side of the world.
A faraway mountain range? On the other side of the world? Hey, Dragon, put me down!
But we've just taken off.
That's quite far enough. Besides, you've got a great setup here. Go with the chipmunk.
I'm not a chipmunk. I'm a forest brownie.
Yes, awesome. Come on, Scales. Let's fly down nice and easy.
You said you could help us.
Huh? No, not me. Wrong guy.
When they land in a forest clearing, the Dragon Rider walks away.
Goodbye. Or should I say until we meet again?
It's goodbye.
Let us know if you change your mind.
Good riddance.
Ooh. This place is spine tingling. Look at my spines. They are literally tingling.
Dragons? Brownies? What the heck is going on?
The lad hides.
It's a tingling feeling up there.
Somebody's right.
Someone's coming!
Whoa!
Get your fat back out of sight!
She pushes him into the bushes.
You want some of this?
I am so ready to strike.
Huh? Hold right there! Who are you?
We are three dwarves. This is Stonebeard. This is Gravelbeard.
And I'm Graniteface.
Overjoyed to meet you.
They search around.
Somewhere around here. Over here.
Scalp didn't prickle like this since the last time I saw it. Is that what I think it is?
A dragon!
Oh, a silver dragon. We haven't seen one of these around these parts since... Never!
You're a joy to behold.
He certainly is. No, Jinx, Crivens, I left my flask of cheeky water at the mine. Carry on without me.
And off he goes.
Disgraceful manners.
Where travel you to, dragon?
We seek the Rim of Heaven.
Fire, Drake.
The Rim of Heaven, you say?
Where east meets west, story says.
Did you know, according to legend, the day the Rim of Heaven is discovered, silver will be worth more than gold. Ain't that
silver, gold? I never have to steal again.
We're not interested in silver or gold. We just need to find a way to get there.
As you say. Anyway, this coal needs a good warm fire. Good luck with your quest.
You don't see that every day.
That's it. We follow the rising sun.
To east meets west.
Dragon Rider.
No!
You're coming with us?
All the way to the Ding of Heaven.
Sorrel's scream momentarily halts the departing dwarves.
You're a fake! You're a phony! You're not a dragon rider!
Guys!
If I'm not a dragon rider, what do you call this? My dragon rider card!
He shows them the leaflet, assumes the dramatic dragon rider pose.
Was that...
my pants, yes.
I rest my case! You wouldn't know a dragon if it burnt a hole in your sock!
I most certainly would. This is definitely a male dragon. You are a male dragon, right?
You're not coming with
us. I'm warning you, don't make me use my Dragon Rider powers.
What powers? You don't have any powers.
Firejake pads away. There's a castle in the distance. Mustachioed but beardless Gravelbeard casts his shovel aside as he runs.
Oh, you're going to love this!
He hastens towards the castle. Inside is Nettlebrand, a metal dragon-killing monster of a machine, shaped like a dragon with rows of sharp-pointed teeth, spikes on his metal body plates.
Quick leg!
Yes, master.
It approaches a computer.
Do something, you puny homunculus. I'm bored out of my mind.
Have you heard of something called fetchamatch.com?
What?
Fetchamatch.com. Your chance to find love. Or a meal. Or both.
Are you wasting my time, you worthless slave?
No, master. We just need your profile.
He uses his feet to type. Fetchamatch homepage appears on the screen.
About me?
You are.
Oh, that's easy. 500-year-old draconoid. Violent! Vicious! Hate his creator.
Perhaps a little finessing. What about mature, sensitive type with healthy appetite?
Fine, let's go with that. Would like to meet like-minded for fun and frolics and...
Fun?
I said fun! Pay attention, stick man, or I'll do for you as I did for your 11 brothers and sisters. Dislikes? Not eating dragons. Likes? Eating dragons. Oh, and golf. And feeling the soft summer breeze on my face. And eating dragons!
A picture... Shall we enhance, master?
He adds glasses, a wig, moustache and floral purple Hawaiian shirt.
How do I look?
Like a weird savage freak. Which is not what you are. Okay, let's send those victims. Matches come flooding in.
You, Nettlebrand! Have I got news for you?
News?
Up in the hill, I just saw... Have a guess.
Do I have to? Shooting star.
Oh, we can do better than that.
A sheep.
A rainbow.
Tell me!
I'll give you a clue.
Gravelbeard wafts his hands in front of his forcefully expelled breath.
What is that?
An opera singer.
What? Do me a favor. It's only a ripe, juicy dragon.
A dragon?
Not just any dragon. A silver dragon. And the balls at the back of the net.
A silver dragon? I have never heard of a silver dragon. I yearn for a silver dragon. I hunger for a silver dragon. Show me this silver dragon!
Now you're talking my language.
Firejake stands observing the castle. Sorrel approaches the pouting, petulant lad who is reclining against a boulder, hands behind his head.
Sorry about that. I've got youngest brownie syndrome. No hard feelings.
She extends a paw. The boy spits, stands and reaches for it.
No hard feelings.
She rolls onto her back and flips him over the edge of the outcrop of rock thereon. Gravelbeard rides Nettlebrand's back, heading towards Firedrake.
I can see the silver dragon!
Firedrake notes Nettlebrand's approach. In the thorny bush he's painfully landed on, the dragon rider fights with his cloak and wrestles it from him.
Where's the dragon rider?
Oh, he took off.
What?
Yep, I guess he chickened out. Now it's back to you and me.
The angry dragon rider has climbed back up the mountain. Sorrel feigns delight.
Dragon rider! Hi! Never expected this.
She pushed me off the mountain!
Nettlebrand fast approaches.
I can smell the silver dragon!
The dragonoid's heavy footfall causes rocks to tremble.
Let's get out of here.
He lowers a wing so his companions can mount. Nettlebrand easily scales the sheer cliff face and races to the clearing the trio has just vacated.
Where's he gone?
He spies them flying towards the low sun on the horizon.
We're both roaring!
Shut up, shut up, shut up! I must know where they're going. Raven!
Raven lands. Nettlebrand glares at Twigleg.
Go after them.
But Master, I've lived in your cellar for 500 years. I know nothing of the world beyond. How will I communicate with you?
Skype me.
Twigleg mounts Raven, and they fly after the dragon and his companions.
That just leaves you and me, two merciless giants of nature. What do you say? Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking I'm in urgent need of a new slave.
Let's not say slave, let's say partner.
Back home, Sorrel's family watch the humans dynamite the land that will eventually encroach upon their home.
Sorrel?
Slatebeard searches caves.
Firedrake! Where are you, lad?
Did you find him?
Right, you two, stop it now! Sorry.
Bottleneck turns towards Sorrel's parents, who are fast approaching.
My baby girl! She's missing!
Firedrake is flying his companions across a blue sky. The dragon rider yawns and stretches.
Okay, so how about a fire-breathing demo?
We're not allowed to play around with that. Fire is a weapon, not a toy.
Come on, there's no one here.
Sorrel's anxious for her friend.
Okay. Here we go.
Before he can breathe out fire, they hit a sandstorm. The way ahead is completely obscured.
This isn't good at all!
Don't worry, Sorrel. We've got the dragon rider to guide us through all this.
Right.
Caught in thick brown cloud, Dragon Rider clings desperately to Firedrake's neck. Sorrel clings desperately onto Dragon Rider. Firedrake labors to fly, struggling to make headway through the buffering wind. Raven is similarly tossed like flotsam and jetsam as it follows with Twigleg. Suddenly, the dragon starts to spiral and lose control. They tumble and fall and crash land. The screen fades to black. Then, the cloudless sky is brilliant blue. The sun shines fiercely above. Below lie rippled sand dunes drenched in bright daylight. Suddenly, Dragon Rider bursts free from under a dune. He is covered in sand. It's in his unruly thick brown hair, in his red hoodie. He shakes and spits it from him, takes in his surroundings.
Hello?
An unrelenting landscape of rolling dunes stretches into the horizon in every direction. He stands, one hand shading his eyes. Sorrel pops out, spluttering of the sand.
Ha! Nice hair!
Twigleg's leg is caught between branches on the only dead tree in the desert, and he struggles to free himself. He falls to the ground. Dragon Rider snatches up his rucksack.
Where's Firedrake?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Hey, wait!
She races to the top of the dune. He casts aside his ripped Dragon Rider breeches and follows her. Beyond the dunes are the ruins of an ancient temple. Sorrel slides down towards it. Dragon Rider puts his hand to brow and gazes out at something in the distance that piques his interest. He follows Sorrel. She stands beside an enormous dragon-shaped hole, leading to an underground chamber. Light floods in through the hole in the ceiling. Sand trickles in as they approach. Sorrel leaps into the tomb. Further inside the tomb, she spies the unconscious dragon.
Firedrake!
She races over, makes sure he's alive.
He's still breathing.
Dragon Rider races over. He steps on something that turns out to be human bones, recoils in horror.
I'm going to wait outside.
A mythical creature hops into the tomb. They hide behind Firedrake.
What is that? I don't know, and I don't want to know. All sorts of things are attracted to dragons.
They peer out at a yellow rooster with a serpent's tail. It has two arms and a wicked beak. Dragon Rider pats Firedrake's head.
Emergency call on line one.
Dragon Rider?
You can't scare us. We've got a dragon. Go on, Scales. Torch him.
Okay.
He produces mere sparks.
Not good.
He can't breathe fire.
What?
With a roar and gnashing teeth, the basilisk gives chase. It grabs hold of Dragon Rider's red hoodie, swings the lad around, casts him to the ground. His rucksack falls, contents spill out. The basilisk leans over the boy and is about to eat him when Sorrel leaps onto the creature's back. She manages to turn it aside. Its tail knocks the boy onto his back. He shouts at Firedrake.
Do something! Anything!
Basilisk throws Sorrel from its back. Before it can devour her, Dragon Rider waves his arms and shouts. Basilisk turns his attention back to the terrified lad who runs with Sorrel to Firedrake. A man springs in front of them holding up a hand mirror. Staring at its reflection, the basilisk freezes in place.
Good boy. Good boy. Easy. That's a good thing I was around. Who knows what would have happened otherwise? Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Professor Barnabas Greenblum.
You've killed him! Typical human, setting upon a poor, defenseless... thing.
No, he's not dead. He's simply stunned. Yeah, he'll be out for a week or so, but he'll be all right.
Look at him. He's definitely dead.
It flexes the claw. Sora holds up the mirror. It freezes again.
Whoa, a silver dragon. Exceptional.
Oh, he's exceptional, all right. He can't breathe fire.
Distraught, Firedrake flees the chamber.
What have you done? Firedrake!
This dragon is one of a kind. We better go find him.
Great.
Firedrake, where are you?
Here, dragon! Oh.
He didn't mean it!
Twigleg is observing from a sand dune.
Stupid.
The lad comes across the troubled dragon, sat on a fallen, half-submerged in sand column, shoulders hunched. With rucksack on his back, the boy approaches Firedrake and sits beside him.
So, how come no show in the flame department?
I open my mouth, but nothing ever happens. The other dragons call me Lame Flame.
Ouch.
But what's the point of being a dragon if you can't breathe fire?
Other dragons?
Such a fake. Not what I seem to be at all. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, we should get back to the others.
Well, give me a second chance, Dragon Rider. I have to find the Rim of Heaven.
What's the big fuss about the Rim of Heaven?
It's the only place that we can be safe. Humans are destroying our valley, so I promise to find it and return before the next full moon.
No pressure, huh? Listen, humans do bad things, but good things too. Not all humans are bad.
You're a good human, right?
Right.
So you're still gonna help us?
Well, I've come this far, haven't I?
Oh, thank you! Oh, I won't let you down again.
Oh, there you are. Right, let's head back to my camp and get some rest. You've been through a lot. Heck of a long way, mate.
The setting sun turns the sand burnished gold.
By the way, thanks. Back there. In the ruin. You weren't a chipmunk. You were a tiger.
His comment pleases Sorrel. Twigleg races after them, the sun now burnt orange as the sun dips lower. The professor stokes the campfire with a stick.
So, where are you heading to?
We're flying to the Rim of Heaven. Or at least we were before I crashed.
No. You crashed because you were affected by the presence of another rare special creature. It wasn't your fault.
That nasty chicken thing in the cave.
The basilisk is a rare and beautiful specimen. Maybe only 20 of his kind in the world. I'm taking him to my reserve, where he'll get all the care and attention he needs.
An orange and purple furred creature, part llama, part corgi, with eyes on stalks and tiny rings for ears, enthusiastically licks Sorrel's face.
I run the reserve with my wife and daughter. Well, she's about your age. We hope to collect, catalogue and cultivate every rare and special creature on the planet.
The lad picks up a purple-haired starfish. It leaps onto his shoulders.
I came for a basilisk! And I found a silver dragon!
There's a creature moving inside his clothes.
As I thought.
The lad picks up a flask.
Now be very careful with that one.
What's in it?
Well, that's my tea.
A map's unfurled.
Right, you seek the Rim of Heaven. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it should lie somewhere in the Himalayas. But even my friend, the famous dracologist, Subisha Gulab, doesn't know exactly where it is. And she knows everything there is to know about dragons. Hey, wait a minute. I know who you can ask. The Djinn with 1,000 eyes. Right, he lives in the ravine here. He has the power to answer any question in the world, but be warned, he's got some rather antisocial habits. Now, your route will be perilous, so whatever you do, avoid the angry giant. somewhere around here.
Maybe here.
And the nasty elves and the sea serpent.
Is that all?
And the rock bird in the mountains here. Beware these three things.
That's four things, idiot!
Eavesdropping Twigleg covers his mouth with his hands, but the others have heard him. Sorrel goes over to investigate the crate he's been hiding behind, but he's disappeared. She shrugs.
Anything else?
Get some rest. You can stay here tonight. I'll get you supplies for your journey in the morning.
Twigleg explodes, coughing from under the sand. He'd buried himself to avoid detection. The three-quarters full moon hangs low in the sky, lending a silver outline to palm trees. Dragon Rider and the Professor stare at Firedrake, curled up asleep on the sand, Sorrel under his wing.
I think you might need something a little more comfortable. Now, it may lack the comfort of home, but it's better than sleeping rough.
He indicates his sleeping tent.
It's okay. Go on.
Inside, there's a simple camp bed, a chest with framed photos on top, and other artifacts the Professor has collected. The lad sits on the bed and picks up the photo of the Professor, smiling out with his wife and daughter. It makes him thoughtful. The Professor remembers something and turns back.
I forgot to say, there are some fresh clothes if you...
When he pops his head inside the tent, the boy is fast asleep. The Professor smiles and extinguishes the light. He examines the basilisk. He shines a light in its eye, checks its pulse, using a stethoscope. He smiles at it. He removes a newspaper clipping from under the basilisk's arm. One side has a crossword puzzle. The other has a story about a car crash. The Dragon Rider's photo accompanies that of his parents.
Couple killed in car crash?
He glances across to where the lad sleeps. In the castle, Gravelbeard is attempting chin-ups.
Are you a fan of prison movies?
He turns and stares at the computer.
Fetchamatch.com. You have a sensitive side. Nothing to be ashamed of. Let me give you a little word of advice. If you're looking for some loving...
Oh, no, you don't.
Nettlebrand swipes him into a stone wall.
Treat them mean, keep them keen. They love that.
Twigleg!
I know where the dragon is going. A place called the Rim of Heaven.
The Rim of Heaven! This is better than I imagined.
First, they must seek out the Thousand-Eyed Djinn.
No, no! The djinn will destroy them! Stay with them!
But the raven has deserted me, Master. How can I follow them?
You think of something. I must follow them to the djinn.
It's getting more evil by the minute. So, we haven't actually worked out the terms of our partnership.
You're my slave. Those are the terms.
They make their way to the basement.
The super submersible.
What a beauty!
What's a super submersible?
My ticket to anywhere in the world. It was built by the human who made me and that wretched Twigleg.
Once it's in the water, they both leap in via the rooftop access hatch.
What are you doing?
My partner! Where you go, I go!
It sinks beneath murky water. Dragon Rider's having a nightmare. He starts violently awake. Catching his breath, he glances around, spies his rucksack on the floor, anxiously kneels before it and searches through it.
Where is it?
Hey, got a moment?
Huh?
Help me load him onto the jeep. So, should I call you Dragon Rider, or do you have another name?
The basilisk's loaded onto a truck.
I've got a female on the reservation. I'm hoping they'll start a family. You got a family? You must be a long way from home.
I do fine on my own.
Oh, by the way, does this belong to you?
He hands over the newspaper cutting.
You like crosswords?
Yeah.
You know, I could do with a little help on the reservation. Here, if you're ever in my part of the world, you can look me up. My wife and daughter would be delighted to meet you.
He hands the lad his card.
Accept the past and move on.
What?
Closure.
Six down.
The professor secures the truck.
It's Ben. My name is Ben.
Okay. Ben.
You're always welcome.
Twigleg hides inside Ben's rucksack. Ben grabs it and the rolled-up map. Then he and the professor walk over to Firedrake and Sorrel.
Next stop, the mighty djinn.
Good luck. Let me know if you find the Rim of Heaven.
Thank you, Professor. We will.
Ben mounts Firedrake.
Goodbye, Professor. And thanks. All right, Scales. You handle the flying. I'll do the navigating.
Ben consults the map, points forwards. They soar over a steep-sided canyon with multiple layers of eroded red-colored rock. Ben points, Firedrake turns, their progress marked by dashed red lines in a stylized map. Checking the map, Ben gestures wait, points in another direction. Firedrake turns. They are chased across a savanna by a club-wielding angry giant. Sorrel demands to help navigate, Ben refuses her help. They must fly back, chased once more. At night, they are miserably soaked to the skin in a rainstorm slashed by lightning. Taking a break, Sorrel stands on Firedrake's head picking apples. Ben just leans back and eats one. Then he sat cross-legged as if meditating on where they should go. Sorrel scowls. The companions encourage Firedrake to set logs alight. To Ben's frustration, he fails. The stylized map shows them evading an arrow-firing assailant. Their looping flight path is erratic. Then they're shivering on ice-encrusted land. Ben peers confused at the map. Beside Firedrake, a penguin flaps its wings. Back in the air, Sorrel forcefully demands to view the map. Ben refuses. Firedrake simply plunges into a sharp dive to stop their bickering. He loops back up. Sorrel and Ben cling to one another. Twigleg unzips the rucksack and tries, unsuccessfully, not to vomit. Sometime later, the professor's supplies break free from the rope securing them to Firedrake's back and tumble to the ground. Ben gives furious Sorrel a sarcastic round of applause as she fails to save them. They are attacked by nasty elves and barely manage to escape the sea serpent's massive jaws. Finally, they land on a mountain plateau.
Excuse for navigation I have ever seen.
Come on, it wasn't that bad. At least we avoided that rock bird.
Sorrel's taken by the rock bird.
Oh, come on, give me a break.
Sorrel, hold on.
With Ben on his back, Firedrake gives chase. They weave around closely packed angular upthrusts of rock and patches of open, uneven ground. Sorrel struggles in the rock bird's claws. The narrow way ahead twists and turns. Arid land erosion has created an obstacle course that's tricky to navigate. They fly through a rock tunnel. Firedrake must spiral his way through, and on exiting, he faintly hits a cliff face. They spy the rock bird ahead.
Going.
The rock bird's nest is fashioned from skeletal remains. With Sorrel in one claw, it hovers above its grisly nest. Firedrake's fury causes his eyes to shine silver. He breathes silver-blue flames at the rock bird. Writhing in pain, it drops Sorrel and flees.
No.
Firedrake dives after Sorrel. Ben clings on for dear life. Twigleg, within Ben's rucksack, goes into freefall. Firedrake flips Sorrel onto his back, then flies up to land on a high plateau.
Sorrel, are you all right?
I'm okay. That was intense.
You really had me worried there for a second.
You did it!
What?
You breathed fire!
For real?
A blue flame, didn't you see? It was awesome!
I did it.
He smiles.
I did it! I did it! All thanks to you, Dragon Rider.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
Watching them bond, Sorrel feels left out of their celebrations. Dejected and saddened, ears limp by the side of her face, she turns and pads away. Stands at the edge of the plateau. Her ears pick up, her demeanor changes.
Hey, look at this.
They join her. Beyond the steep-sided, arid red rock canyon is lush green mountainous terrain and a plummeting ravine.
Jin's Ravine.
Firedrake lands in an almost tropical ravine, filled with broadleaf plants, ferns and climbing, leaf-encrusted vines. Now walking, they follow the path of a lazy green river that snakes its way through the lush undergrowth. Twigleg peeks out of a slightly unzipped rucksack.
What fresh hell is this?
Sorrel surprised by low-flying birds. Then the companions cautiously make their way through thick curtains of vines hanging from trees, the thickness of the creepers creating a green tinge to the surroundings. They reach a more open area. Due to the steep and close proximity of the cliff face, the light is significantly dimmed. The bare rock they traverse is damp, the sky a long way above. The place seems to be breathing. Sorrel carefully steps over a fallen helmet. Her unease increases. Ben spies a rusted Volkswagen Beetle in amongst a nest of tropical ferns and broadleaf shrubs. He walks over to investigate.
Any sign of that gin?
Honk me?
Leaning in, he obligingly slaps the horn. The car vibrates as the others approach. Vivid purple smoke spews from the exhaust, spirals upwards. An enormous, big-bellied, multi-eyed, tattoo-chested, purple-tailed, horned, mighty djinn emerges.
You have a question for the mighty djinn? Ask me anything you wish, but I warn you, if it is a question I have heard before...
He zaps a palm tree and the area around them with laser bolts from a central eye.
Ask your question.
You heard what the djinn said. If it's a question he's heard before, he's going to zap another tree.
We have to ask the djinn where the Rim of Heaven is.
I'm pretty sure he'll have heard that before.
It's a chance we have to take. Leave this with me.
No! No!
Where is the Rim of Heaven?
Not!
What?
Where is the Rim of Heaven not?
What kind of question is that? You want to know where it isn't?
Yeah.
Pole to pole, north and south, and everywhere in between?
Yeah, right. Every blade of grass, every stone, every grain of sand, every place the Rim of Heaven isn't.
That will take an eternity. I cannot do it!
Then answer the question as you know it! You owe us that!
The swirls and eye-shaped tattoos on the djinn's body and arms shine, as do the multiple eyes on his forehead that now form a letterbox of light. Ben has levitated over to the djinn and a series of rapid images shown him. A snow-capped, crescent-shaped mountain, a mouth-shaped cave with teeth-like rock formations, a giant circular seal carved into rock, a dragon with silver flame eyes. The djinn's eyes return to normal. Ben falls to the ground.
Oh, no!
Do you have another question for the mighty djinn?
Yeah, how do we get out of here?
Fools! A question I have heard many times before.
Sorrel, what have you done?
No one escapes the djinn alive!
Dragon Rider!
Ben narrowly avoids being crushed by the djinn's tail. The djinn tries to zap Firedrake with his eye laser beam. Sorrel hides behind a rock.
Just messed with the wrong dragon. I'll show you fire.
Firedrake breathes near sparks.
Not again!
The mighty djinn puffs himself up to launch an attack on Firedrake, but Nettlebrand tackles and casts him aside.
Silver dragon.
What the?
Oh, you're in the big league now, son!
Recovered, mighty djinn attacks Nettlebrand, slamming him into the cliff face. An avalanche of boulders crashes down. Sorrel leaps onto Firedrake's back.
I don't get it! Why isn't it working? Dragon Rider! It all makes sense!
What are you talking about?
I can only breathe fire when the Dragon Rider is sitting on my back!
That's crazy! What makes you think... Look out!
The mighty djinn's thrown Firebrand in Sorrel's way. Furious, the djinn directs his laser beam at the metal monster. It has no effect.
He's indestructible!
The fight continues, Ben wandering woozily between them.
Get him out of there!
As punches are traded, Firedrake sweeps between Mighty Djinn and Nettlebrand, scooping Ben up, and flies away. Nettlebrand grabs hold of the djinn's tail and smashes him onto the ground. Later, the companions are on a high plateau.
Dragon Rider, come back to us!
What's wrong with him?
I don't know!
I kind of like him better this way.
Go to Dragon Rider!
Ben's acting irrationally.
Oh, this is all my fault.
This has nothing to do with you. He's been trouble since the beginning. I say we leave him here and forget we ever met him.
Are you out of your mind? We can't desert the Dragon Rider.
You really have to stop being so judgmental.
Pumpkins? I don't have any pumpkins.
Okay.
We can do.
Dragon.
Sorrel examines the map and the marks the professor made on it.
This must be where the professor's friend lives. Can't believe I'm actually saying this, but maybe she'd be able to help us.
Sorrel, you're a genius.
We'll see about that.
By the way...
Ben collapses face down.
Way too much gin.
In the mighty gin's ravine, Gravelbeard skips ahead of Nettlebrand towards the submersible.
That gin'll know better than to mess with us next time.
Listen to me. If you don't stop talking...
Ah, oh, don't be so modest. It's not like I did all the work alone. So, where to next, partner? Some more butt-kicking?
We wait until that pathetic insect Twigling reports back.
Oh, I hate waiting. Hey, what about that dating thing? Got any hits, lover boy? I once dated a three-headed Cerberus. You know she had six...
Nettlebrand silences him with his metal tail. Night. Fire drakes flying across a great expanse of water. Ven's unconscious. Sorrel's holding the map. The moon shines a silvery path on the water below. It is three quarters full. Back in Fire Drake's home valley, the others are searching for him and Sorrel. Bottleneck stares at Sorrel's tree carving.
You know what I think? Humans have taken them.
The two dragons walk to an outcrop of rock and gaze down at the humans' clearing ground for more factories.
You still want to hide, Bottleneck?
Those humans have gone too far. This means war!
Firedrake lands on a bay sandy shore, nestling within low rolling hills, palm trees and vegetation bathed in bright sunlight. Sora and Firedrake stare at Ben with concern, but they're surprised by delighted children's laughter as a group of Indian children are blissfully snuggled up to the dragon. More are arriving, gazing adoringly up at Firedrake.
Where are we?
Dragon Rider, you're back!
The villagers fast approach, led by elderly Deepak. Sorrel leaps down and assumes a defensive stance.
Who are you?
Hello, my name is Firedrake, this is Sorrel, and this here is the Dragon Rider.
You! Adbravatar Gopi Payanakarmi!
I'm... what?
The Dragon Rider! Adbravatar Gopi Payanakarmi has returned!
Can we just stick to Dragon Rider?
Take my carrots!
The villagers offer gifts. Deepak waves them away. The venerable old man takes the proffered multicolored item of clothing for himself.
We're looking for the dracologist, Supisha Gula.
Put him in the special Bravatar Gopi Payanakarmi chair. Come this way.
Ben is carried into the village on the litter. Firedrake wears a garland. Inside Ben's rucksack, Twigleg relaxes.
Doesn't make any sense. I made it all up.
Subisha! You will never believe this!
Back up, Deepak! How many times do I have to tell you not to shout so much?
Can this be true?
The Dragon Rider has returned!
He presents Ben to Subisha.
I found him. It's me. I did.
Who are you, boy? The Dragon Rider?
Professor Greenbloom told us about you. We were hoping you could help us.
Oh, of course. Come with me this way. Come. Only 3,000 steps. Hurry up, pick your feet up.
No, I do this every day, you know. I don't work out. Don't need to work out. Not with a physique like this.
They mount a long staircase of stone steps to a beautifully decorated temple.
Welcome to the Temple of the Dragon Rider. What is your business here?
We seek the Rim of Heaven.
No one knows where it is. It's hidden from the world, protected by powerful magic.
Is there anything more you can tell us?
This temple is the resting place of Varin, the only human ever to ride a dragon. Varin led the dragons to the Rim of Heaven when they were in retreat. He sealed them there with a special key, keeping them safe inside.
The monster we saw in the ravine.
Varin ventured to find other dragons, but the monster tracked him down, savaged him, and stole the key. As he lay dying, he set down this prophecy.
Stop, madame! The monster who's hungry.
Zibat, now's not the time for treats and refreshments. I'm trying to be mystical.
Before they have flown halfway around the world and need something to eat. Look at the dragon rider. He's starving, so tell.
Leave it here, Deepak. I will finish telling the story first.
You can't tell me what to do. I will leave the treats and refreshments here and let you get all mystical from my own free will.
To the companion's amusement, she chases Deepak out with the tip of her walking stick.
Forgive my husband. He is a good man, but he's also a pain in the... Where were we? Ah, yes.
The prophecy. The day the rim of heaven is discovered, silver will be worth more than gold.
Just what the dwarves said on the mountain.
Many have searched.
By the way, there's also rajma chawal and makhani dal. Smells tasty, though. Can you smell it? Spicy. Too strong.
I'm not done yet, you idiot.
You always take so long telling the backstory. Dragons were locked away. Nobody knows where they are. Job done.
Go away, Deepak. The frog.
No, I work here. I'll eat it myself.
It was an arranged marriage. Many have searched, but no one has found the rim of heaven.
Are there still dragons in the rim of heaven?
I have no reason to believe otherwise.
This monster, does he have a name?
They call the monster Metal Flag.
Twigleg yelps, then unzips his rucksack. The homunculus leaps out and runs away. Sorrel pounces and grabs him.
Put me down!
Who are you?
My name is Twigleg.
What are you doing here?
You
know what we do with spies. We scratch their eyes out.
I mean you no harm. I didn't want to be Nettlebrand's spy.
You've been spying for this monster, Nettlebrand. I say we get rid of him.
No, please, spare me. I hate being a spy. I'm terrible with secrets. I find it all so stressful.
What does Nettlebrand want?
He means for you to lead him to the rim of heaven.
You're going to pay for this.
No, I can help you.
But how can you help us, wretched little man?
It's him, my master Nettlebrand.
Now what?
If I prove my worth, will you let me live?
How can you do that?
I'll throw him off the scent. Send him on a wild goose chase.
Okay, one chance, but slip up and it's the end for you.
Oh, master!
Twigleg, what have you been doing?
Oh, master, I'm going to tell you everything. We're almost at the rim of heaven.
Where is it? Tell me.
It's in the North Pole. We're on our way there as I speak.
Why the North Pole?
Because...
He stares at the ceiling.
It's at the top of the world. It makes sense when you think about it.
So far away?
Oh, yes. It would still take us many days to get there. Perhaps as many as...
Ben, Sorrel, Firedrake and Sabisha hold fingers up.
18 days.
18 days?
Yes, which is why you must hurry. You have no time to lose.
Where are you now?
In an igloo.
Sabisha slaps her forehead.
Surprisingly good work, Twigleg. I'll travel to the North Pole right away.
Thank you, Master. I'll meet you in 18 days' time.
18 days. Until then...
Pani puri, aloo tikki, sweet and salty. I'll clean it up. I'm okay.
Who is that?
I'm okay.
Farin.
Hello.
You are in India. You lied to me. Oh. You pay for this, Twigleg. You traitor.
He knows we're here. We must escape at once.
I'm not afraid.
You should be. You have no chance against him.
You must find the rim of heaven before he finds you.
But we still don't know where to look.
Dragon Rider, what did you see in the djinn's eyes?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on. Think hard.
Maybe I can help. Come here, my child.
Nettlebrand's submersible arrives on the sandy shore and walks, lurching erratically, onto the beach.
Get me off! Get me hand off my...
Sorry about that.
It spins around, slams down. Nettlebrand bursts out, Gravelbeard squashed up against the viewing hatch.
Think they can make a fool out of me? Raven!
As the others watch, Ben sits, head slumped. As Sabisha wafts her hands around his head, she chants. Suddenly, he jerks upright, eyes shining silver bright. The mighty djinn's vision appears.
I see a mountain.
mountain shaped like a crescent.
The Crown Peak? Quickly, quickly, bring me your map. Here, this is the mountain. You must continue your search there.
We'll head there right away.
Whatever you do, this map must not fall into enemy hands.
Raylan snatches the map and flies away.
Brilliant.
They all race out onto the terrace to try and catch the raven.
The raven will take the map to Nettlebrand.
How are we going to find our way without the map? And what about the key? Where are we supposed to get that?
We will find a way. The dragons who live there are in danger now because of us.
The Crown Peak is in that direction. The dragon rider will show you the way.
But I don't know.
You are much more than you think you are. Follow your heart and the truth will come to you. Now hurry. The fate of the dragons lies in your hands.
First for the dragon rider. Take them. The mountains will be cold.
Ben accepts and puts on the coat.
Get the dragon to the Rim of Heaven, grab the gold and silver, and then forget about all this madness.
Are you going to leave me here? If Nettlebrand catches me, he'll kill me.
He does know Nettlebrand better than anyone. I say we take him with us.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
You can ride up top, little guy.
Before mounting, Ben scoops him up and pops him into his coat's breast pocket.
I will pray for your safe return.
With everyone in place, Fire Drake flies away.
Back.
They're going to be chapati.
Yep.
The moon is almost full in the night sky. Humans have arrived in Fire Drake's valley, and a chainsaw hacks into the tree Sorrel carved a dragon and brown into. Bottleneck and his loyal lieutenant, Sofabreth, watch in stony silence from a high outcrop of rock.
Gather the troops.
He glances up at the silver orb, a slither yet in darkness. Fire Drake flies over snow-encrusted mountain peaks.
Which way?
I don't know.
Try hard, Dragon Rider. We believe in you.
Ben glances anxiously around. Firedrake passes a mountain, and the Crown Peak is revealed. Ben suddenly notices it, and his eyes shine silver.
Over there!
Firedrake adjusts his course and flies towards the curved mountain in the distance. Down below, Nettlebrand's submersible breaks through the water's thick ice crust. He thrusts his head out of the roof hatch, and as the craft bobs in the disturbed water, he glances growling around. Firedrake continues his flight path to Crown Peak. Ben points.
We've got to go through there!
Firedrake's perturbed.
Really?
Nettlebrand's metal feet slam across the ice-encrusted land. Pausing, he sniffs the frigid air. Firedrake labors to fly through a snowstorm that heavily obscures the way ahead. They make the safety of a cave with mouth-like entrance, just like the one in Mighty Jin's vision. The rock and icicle formation like savage, jagged teeth in a monster's mouth.
Where are we?
Better to be in here than out there.
All good in there?
The cavern expands to vast proportions and is lit cold blue. As they fly and gaze around, Ben's eyes suddenly shine silver. His head whips to the front as he points.
Up there!
Ahead are more rows of teeth-like formations that seem to glow with an unearthly pale blue light. Sorrel glances around. Nettlebrand has gained entrance to the cavern.
It's Nettlebrand! He's here!
What? Are you sure?
Go left!
He does.
I could have sworn I saw...
She spots him again. Twigleg shrieks in fright as Nettlebrand gallops through obstacles in his way. Nettlebrand is at Firedrake's tail, and the silver dragon must beat his wings harder to escape the monster's jaws. On their zigzag flight path, Sorrel's bemused to spot a frozen in place, saber-toothed squirrel reaching for an acorn. Though Ben shouts direction changes, Nettlebrand worryingly stays apace with them. The ferocity of his passage causes the rocks behind to tumble, effectively blocking any backtracking attempts. Evading his snapping metal jaws, Firedrake finally bursts out through an end wall of thin ice. He emerges upside down, with Ben and Sorrel clinging to his neck.
Oh, boy.
Then, in slowed-down motion, Nettlebrand explodes from the ice wall. With ginormous jaws hinged open wide, wide enough to swallow Firedrake whole, the metal monstrosity leaps for the silver dragon. But gravity takes charge, and Nettlebrand plummets, tail and limbs thrashing as he falls. The falling ice from the busted wall soon obscures him from view. The shot companions watch him disappear. Then Ben's eyes turn silver. His head snaps up.
We're close.
They fly towards a crescent mountain fashioned from slabs of dark rocks, its peak cradled by clouds below and above. Firedrake's wings slowly beat as they make their way around it.
Down there!
They follow the curve of the rock face and alight on an ice-covered area in front of a stone staircase that follows the upward rise of Crown Peak.
We made it!
They start to climb.
Well, I'll be damned.
The Silver Dragon leads the way up the stone stairway, stretching high above them, sorrels contrite.
I doubted you, but you actually got us here. Well done, Dragon Rider. Oh, hey, I'm sorry I pushed you off that mountain.
That's all right. What's waiting behind that door is way more important.
They finally arrive at a huge circular double door, intricately carved.
All right. Come on. Ready?
Firedrake does most of the pushing of the heavy door. They open it just enough to gain access and peer in wonderment within. They enter. The chamber is enormously vast. A huge stone dragon, like the one in Ben's vision, stands on a plinth, its wings raised and outstretched. Apart from that, the chamber's empty.
What is this place?
Firedrake stares at the enormous stone dragon. He's tiny in size beside it.
Where's the dragon paradise?
Sorrel walks hesitantly forwards, then also investigates the place.
Is this the Rim of Heaven?
Where to now, Dragon Rider?
I don't know. This place is all I've seen in the vision.
We've come so far. This can't be it.
Ben stares at the walls.
This is the Rim of Heaven? A bunch of drawings in a cave?
Come on. Come on, there must be more. Dragon Rider, is there something we're missing?
It's just a stupid old story.
He slams his fists against the walls. Down below, Nettlebrand explodes from under the snow, using one then another great clawed hand to pull himself free. Gravelbeard splatters out of the snow.
Come on, we need to go!
I'm not leaving. Not until we find the Rim of Heaven.
It doesn't exist! Get it? We've got to get out of here!
We can't just give up.
Fine, if you want to stay here and face that freak... Go ahead! I'm gone!
You can't just leave!
Watch me!
He stomps towards the entrance.
Dragon Rider?
Sorry, Scales.
Without turning, he walks away. A panoramic view of the stairway to the cavern is shown. The camera closes in on Ben as he pulls his hood up against the cold.
I should have just stayed in this city. Dragon Rider, what was I thinking?
Master?
Huh? I'm not your master, I'm my own master. Yeah, and I do pretty fine on my own.
He slips, slams, thumps, head over heels down the snowy slopes. He ends up on his back. As he begins to push himself upright, Nettlebrand stomps past a large rock between him and the lad. Ben scurries to hide behind the rock. Nettlebrand stands on top of it. Nettlebrand's right above him.
I know that smell. That is Old Homunculus.
He lowers his head towards Ben and Twigleg.
Look at that!
Perched on his shoulder, Gravelbeard points up the pass.
Almost there.
Ben presses against the rock as Nettlebrand stomps away. Ben spies a golden object half buried in the snow. He runs over, drops to his knees, picks it up. It's a golden heart. He stares at it. A revelation hits him.
The prophecy!
Inside the cavern.
It's like my dad said, never, ever trust a human.
You're right, Sorrel. You were right all along. I should have listened to you.
Come out and shine, Silver Dragon. I know you're here somewhere.
Oh, no! Quick! We've got to find another way out!
No more running.
Huh?
I'm gonna stay and fight in the name of all dragons, once and for all.
Nettlebrand's viciously spiked head peers in through an entrance that's too small for him.
Oh, Silver Dragon, you have no idea how long I've been waiting.
He smashes his way in, and a falling rock releases a lever that elevates a weight, and fire spews from a stone dragon's mouth until all around the chamber similar fires are created and burn on high stone pillars. This infuriates Nettlebrand, who now shines golden in the warmth of the flames. Firedrake comes out of hiding to face his giant nemesis.
I'm here, Nettlebrand.
It's the big one!
Nettlebrand's eyes gleam red. He gnashes his metal teeth at Firedrake, who charges. He smashes the silver dragon into the walls with a swish of his massive tail.
You're no match for me.
Or me.
If you want to get to him, you'll have to go through me first. Firedrake, run!
Nettlebrand lumbers after Firedrake, who tries to breathe fire and fails.
Is that all you've got?
The silver dragon backs away in fright.
I wonder what you taste like, silver dragon!
Firedrake slips from under his reaching claws and flies to the ceiling. Nettlebrand turns and climbs up and along the ceiling, embedding his metal claws in the rock. He launches the spikes on his back plate at the silver dragon.
That's a close shave!
Nettlebrand lunges. Firedrake flees, lands heavily on the ground, then appears.
Sorrel! What are you doing here, traitor?
I figured it out!
Dragon Rider?
The prophecy! When the rim of heaven is discovered, silver will be worth more than gold! He's gold, you're silver! You can beat this guy!
How?
Good point. You're a dragon, use your fire!
I can't!
He thinks he can only breathe fire when you're sitting on his back!
What? That's nonsense!
I know, I was trying to tell him!
Hey, Scale! You don't need me to breathe fire! Huh?
Nettlebrand catches Firedrake's tail in his mouth. He pins him to the ground.
Let him go!
She rushes Nettlebrand, but bounces painfully off him.
No!
Nettlebrand turns to Ben, who runs. He catches the boy, drags him back with his tail, dangles him before him. Twigleg adds human eyes, a blonde wig, red lips and a necklace to Nettlebrand's profile picture on Fetchermatch.
Well, well. You will make a tasty appetizer, human.
Nettlebrand checks his profile alert, puts Ben under his claw.
Would you please excuse me for one moment? Oh, my. Brandolina.
Twigleg continues typing. Nettlebrand taps the screen with a single claw.
You don't need me to breathe fire!
Yes, I do!
Sorrel was right! I'm a fake! I'm a phony! I came along because I wanted to be rich! You can breathe fire all by yourself!
No!
Listen to me! My name is Ben! I'm not a dragon rider! I'm just some kid off the street! I lied to you!
Love hearts and messages are exchanged until Twigleg's screen goes black. Nettlebrand's screen goes blank. Irritated, he casts it aside. He grabs Ben by his coat, raises him once more. He grabs Firedrake by the neck and lifts him up. The little dragon chokes.
The last thing you're going to see is me eating your precious rider.
Come on, Firedrake! You're much more than you think you are! Forget about Lame Flame!
Lame Flame? Lame Flame! That's hilarious! Lame Flame! Oh, that's a good one! Did you make it up?
Go ahead and eat me! But you'll never beat Firedrake! He'll burn you to a crisp!
Don't you get it, boy? Fire can't hurt me! Bon appetit!
No, Firedrake!
Nettlebrand's about to eat Ben. Firedrake's eyes shine silver. His body expands like a pufferfish. Firedrake spews out a torrent of blue flames, and his shape returns to normal. Nettlebrand drops Ben, who runs. Sorrel's fur reflects the intense blue fire as it licks over Nettlebrand. The dragonoid monstrosity begins to melt into a giant golden puddle. Horrified, Gravelbeard is mesmerized. Firedrake finally lands beside the puddle of gold, watching the last remains of Nettlebrand dissolve. Firedrake blows gently across the puddle and it turns to golden grains. Twigleg is stunned, Ben a little afraid.
There, boy, take it easy now.
Firedrake turns silver eyes on Ben.
Now for the main event!
Firedrake silver stares at Gravelbeard.
Maybe not.
He flees. Firedrake becomes woozy, faints to the floor.
Firedrake, are you all right? Sorrel! Are you all right?
No.
Sorrel punches him.
That's for deserting us.
Firedrake stands on shaky legs.
He's dead! He's finally dead!
Firedrake, that was incredible!
You did it, Scales! The prophecy was right!
No. There's no rim of heaven.
Sorrel comforts her despondent friend. Ben stares in dismay at them. Firedrake turns to him.
Thank you for coming back.
Oblivia's Twigleg dances in Little Brand's golden ashes.
That's for my 11 brothers and sisters! Soul shrine!
Wait a minute.
In the middle of the golden ashes is a red object. Sorrel stares at the diamond-shaped chiseled image in the stone dragon's plinth. She goes over to the red object, picks it up, blowing golden particles from it, carries it over. It fits exactly.
Varin's key.
It sets things in motion. The key turns. The stone dragon's eyes shine silver. A circular section of the floor rotates with the stone dragon's dais turning counterwise in the middle of it. More light shines like a searchlight from the dragon's mouth. It finally stops facing a particular section of carved wall, and the circular form becomes a door that splits down the middle and opens. The awestruck trio approach and enter through the opening into a world of wonderment. Great bushes of lush purple flowers are offset beautifully by sunlit, verdant green grass. Ahead is a vast expanse of paradise. Sorrel races over to moonlight-coloured flowers that seem to glow with a magical inner light. A massive smile blossoms over her furry face. Firedrake is entranced.
These must be the moonflowers from Slatebeard's stories.
There are dragons flying in the air.
Dragons!
They're flying free!
Ben's smile of amazed wonderment fades into sadness, and he steps forwards. He wanders further in and sits desolate on the grassy hillside. Firedrake notices his rider's disquiet. He pads over to the lad, who has pulled his knees up, hugging them into his chest. Firedrake sits beside him.
You did it, Dragon Rider. You brought us to the rim of heaven.
Ben holds the newspaper clipping.
Yeah, I guess I did. Except I'm not really a dragon rider.
Well, did Varin call himself a dragon rider? Maybe that's for others to say. So what are you going to do now?
I don't know.
You could stay with us, or you could go back to your world. It's your choice, Ben.
What's the point of living with humans if you're living alone?
Sorrel places a gentle paw on his shoulder.
Not all humans are bad humans.
He glances at her. His expression brightens as a thought crosses his mind.
Six down. Accept the past and move on. I think I might drop by Professor Greenbloom's to see if he needs any help with the resort.
What about me?
You can come too. I'm sure the professor would be happy to meet you.
The moon is almost full. We have to get back to the valley before it's too late. Come on.
They climb aboard.
Ready?
Ready.
They head for home. Gravelbeard's dressed like a Mexican wrestler.
Okay, you asked for it. Don't say I didn't warn you. Hey, get back here. Come on.
A full moon shines on a meeting of dragons back in Firedrake's home valley. Bottleneck addresses them.
Dragons, for many moons we have been hiding from the humans, watching them take over the world. For many moons we kept running whenever they came too close, hoping they'd let us live in peace. But human greed has no end! We've sacrificed our dignity. We've sacrificed our freedom. And we've even sacrificed our children. But we will take this no more! We are dragons, and it is time for the humans to feel the wrath of our flames!
He shoots a great column of fire into the sky. Sleepbeard's watching perturbed.
This is very bad. Very, very bad.
Dragon! Tonight, we reclaim our honor!
Firedrake!
The humans are going to pay for their crime!
The dragons breathe a wall of fire into the night sky. Slatebeard spotted Firedrake approaching.
Stop!
Cease fire!
Firedrake!
Sorrel, you're alive!
Sorrel! Mom! Dad!
There you are, lad. I knew you'd come back.
Slatebeard.
Where have you been?
Okay, don't get mad. We went to look for the Rim of Heaven.
It's just a myth. Did you find it?
We sure did. And it is beautiful.
Sorrel holds up a moonflower. The dragons gather around.
Wait. We're still going into battle, right? Right?
I don't know what to say. We thought that the humans had killed you.
Not all humans are bad humans.
Huh?
We'll tell you all about it on the way.
Carrying the forest brownies with them, they rise up into the clear moonlight sky, Firedrake and Sorrel leading the way.
I didn't trust him at all. I thought because he was a human, he couldn't be good. But Ben came through for us in the end. He showed up and wowed people more than the rest.
Spine Crackle carries Slatebeard and labors under his weight. Glansmire, the bespectacled old jeweler, takes possession of a package. Inside is an ornately decorated red box and a note, sorry. His bemusement turns to joy as he reveals the necklace Ben had stolen from him. Peering inside the box again, he discovers the solid gold heart. The dragons fly over a green and fertile land, the ocean licking at the shore. Fantastical creatures abound in a homestead. Ben's mowing the lawn, steering a three-eyed, blue-haired creature, twig legs on his shoulder. He smiles up in delight at Firedrake and Sorrel, who wave back. Ben and Twigleg are joined by Professor Greenbloom, his wife and daughter. The professor puts his arm around Ben. A view from behind shows the entire family holding on to one another. Mum enthusiastically waves. The professor smiles at Ben. They're joined by the furry orange creature they'd first met when they came upon the professor. It shakes its tail and flutters its wings for ears. The professor strokes its head. Dragon Rider. The end. Further narrative from Subisha and Deepak follow the end credits.
Oh, I've been lost in the darkness. I heard your voice from afar. You were my calling. You were my calling. Whenever the night was starless and I couldn't see anymore, you showed me the morning. You showed me the morning. So I wanna let you know, when life has got you low, I'll be your wings to fly. When there's trouble on your mind, nothing can break us apart. Walls won't be falling. These walls won't be falling. I wouldn't be if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't speak if it wasn't the truth. You are my calling. You are my calling. So I wanna let you know, when life has got you low, I'll be your wings to fly. When there's trouble on your mind, whenever you're about to fall, there's nothing I won't try. 'Cause I'll be your wings to fly. When you're suffering inside, come hell or high water, got you covered on my life. Let these wings take you high. We sing.
The dragons were saved, thanks to the special fire breath of a silver dragon called Fire Drake.
But what about the boy? The name of the movie is Dragon Rider. And that little brownishy thingy, she did a lot as well.
Okay. So the dragons were saved thanks to a silver dragon called Fire Drake, a brownie called Sorrel, and a boy called Ben, who turned out to be Bravatna Gobi Paranakarmi.
And what about me? I helped too. Why don't you ever tell stories about me?
Because you're boring. What is this mess in the kitchen? What have you done?
Panjwari.
Plate ganda.
Nahin.
Glass ganda.
Theek hai.
Chakku ganda.
Theek hai, main 3 degree jeeti hai. BA pass, MA pass, PhD pass.
Gandi PhD kiti honi hai.
Tu saaf kar la. Mainu kyon gindi hai? Always having a go at me. Main chal liya bar, mere friends de naal. Mere friends kithe ne? I need some friends.